Got it. Okay. So we have a quorum. It's Thursday, March 14th, 2024, and I'd like to bring the meeting to order for the Environmental Services Advisory Committee. Let's move on to roll call. Fred,
Here.
Orisa, Doug Jennings,
Here.
Trevor Ledbetter,
Here.
Susanna Shippers,
Here.
Ryan Thomas,
Here.
and Chris Yarder present. So we all are good and showed up. Let's move on to item two for the chairperson's report. Thankfully, it's done, I hope. Did you all get a chance to go through it?
Yes, I did. It was more of a review for me, and remembering back when a lot of that stuff happened, like the Silvercroft Morgan Kimball gas pipeline leak.
All that old stuff, huh?
Yeah, that was like, where did time go? That was over 20 years ago.
Well, it's still happening, so ES is still having to deal with that. And did you see any mistakes?
Well, I have some questions regarding something at the end of page five, and at the very bottom it says SOF materials. I'm not quite sure what that is.
SOF.
That's what I thought it said.
At the end of page five, you said at the very end?
I'm
Oh,
seeing
feet on the street.
it's what?
It's feet on the street. Mine says feet on the street. It should say that. Is that what you're talking about?
The sentence is at the end of it is at the end of the sentence of that page is move out of the dorms is a source of tremendous amount.
Oh, you
Oh,
know.
is it of materials?
Yeah, that's not the end of my page five. Are you're looking at the newest version
I thought it was.
that Brittany sends? Okay, so let's go.
According to this, I would think it would means of instead of SOF.
I have no idea what you're talking about, because
It
it's
talks
not.
about the program at the university, I believe. The new food cycle. Oh, no. At the beginning, so we looked at opportunities for more waste diversion in the University of Arizona and
Okay,
removing from
that's
the dorms.
bottom of six.
What's six? Okay, it's on the bottom of five.
Yeah. Okay. Dorms. Materials, sustainability.
I think it just should say off materials, not self
Yes,
materials.
I think that's right.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, I'm sorry. It's just a typo. I thought there was like an abbreviation, you know, there's
Oh.
of something that I was. Okay, got it. Well, that'll be easy to fix. Thanks, Carlos. Anyone see anything else? Did I miss anything?
According to you have for the when you first mentioned the vacant and neglected structures,
Yeah.
you have enhanced capitalized. You have enhanced vacant and neglected structures.
Okay, so it's another typo.
It's another typo, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I can take care of that.
Otherwise, I think it's pretty good. What I really thought was good was how you have it broken down by the numbers.
Oh, and actually, that's something that Brittany helped me with.
Yeah, and I was wondering, Would that be better if we could put it on top? Because that way they could, you know, in journalism terms, it's like you're covering the lead. These are the accomplishments of the programs, and that should be highlighted and put where people see it. Because by the time these people get to the bottom, they're kind of, you know, they're looking at all these other programs, and they may not get to that point.
Well, now you know this goes to mayor and council.
Yeah, I know.
So they better look at
Well, but I think this is
if
what.
it was going out to the general public, I see what you're talking about.
But I think that's a tremendous accomplishment with what everybody does, you know, and there's all these people involved, and this is what they do, and this is what they've been able to accomplish this last year.
Yeah. No, I think it is really nice.
Yeah, and I applaud that you got all this, that you guys were able to get all this information on there, and I think that's very helpful, because I think it's really going to affect how people look at the different things that Environmental Services does.
Oh, absolutely. And that's kind of
Right.
what I'm looking for when I'm going over all my old notes and stuff is to let mayor and council know how busy Environmental Services is and how much hard work has gone into the year, for
Yeah,
sure.
I think that actually just shows it right there in a nutshell, what everybody's done, and it's very admirable how everything's they've been able to do so much, and you know, and then you talk about, you know, they're understaffed and everything, they're still able to get this stuff done. I think it's very commendable.
It is. And especially their most important job is to make sure our trash and recycling is picked up.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
people forget that Environmental Services that has had a lot of chores added. Right, Carlos? So, that's where the money's supposed to be going for sure, that we're paying monthly on our bills. So get that taken care of. So, I guess would someone like to just make a motion to accept this as corrected?
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so the motion passes, and we'll be sending this on to the clerk's office, and they deliver to mayor and council. So I was just a little bit late. They wanted it by March 1st, but
Does it say what year?
well, you know what? When I go through all my notes for the year, I'm just always amazed at all the information we've gotten, and that's why I like to thank staff for making sure that we get all this information at all our meetings, and that they're so prepared to do this. So thank you, thank you.
And I agree.
Let's move on to item three, the Plan Tucson update. And there was a city meeting, what was it, last Monday? And I wasn't able to go, but Margo went, and she would like to just give everybody a brief update on what took place in that meeting.
All right, I'm trying to get all my Zoom stuff organized, so I can't see myself, but I assume you can hear me all right?
Oh, yeah, we can see you too.
Okay, good. All
Okay.
right. I'm part of the Chris and I are part of the group called Water, Climate Action, and Green Space. And I'm particularly in number three, develop, maintain, and promote a pollution-free community. And I really fussed at them in the beginning because and they still don't have anything that specifically says waste management. But this is what we fall under is water, climate action, and green
Right.
space. Bothers me still that it doesn't mention us. But We have at least got them to acknowledge that we have a zero waste plan. And though I must say, in going over the plan, it's the piece that they have is really the roadmap. And Carlos, I really would like us to finish it into a document sometime. I know that's probably not very high on your list of things to do, but I think it would help a lot in trying to keep a focus on the things that we do as this plan moves forward, because this is where they pull. What do they use this plan for? When they're managed, when stuff goes before the city council, they reference what Plan Tucson policies are backing what the city manager is recommending or the department is recommending. So it's important to have a good solid list, wish list of things there. Also, to make sure they have the information accurate on what the department is doing. And I had to do a little bit of correction in a few places. So the first one they have is a policy which has to do with health impacts of Superfund sites. So they're implement a comprehensive strategy and program for brownfield assessment, mitigation, and redevelopment. And I pointed out to them that's already ongoing. And they did recognize that it had been in Plan Tucson, the 2013 version, and ensure that Superfund sites are managed to mitigate any adverse effects to the community. And you can see this coming down from people in South Tucson who have been dealing for a long time with groundwater contamination and various other Superfund sites that, in fact, are referenced in our annual plan. And they talk about environmental justice, which we have not really talked about much. Then the next one is improving infrastructure for managing hazardous waste and improve the infrastructure for responsible disposal of hazardous waste. And of course, we're doing that also in the annual report. We talk about the HHW site at the landfill that's being upgraded. Then let's see, they go on to talk about light. That's not really our effort. And then they one of the proposals is to implement a community-wide zero waste plan and accompanying initiatives to achieve zero waste community. And use new technologies and processes and partnerships to divert waste from the landfill. And that's as close as we got to anything about recycling or just waste diversion, and create a community-wide organics collection and treatment program. I pointed out to them that we already had the pilot program underway. And so maybe instead of create, we should have. Continue to implement or some stronger word about that. There was a lot of interest in continuing to educate people about composting and other kinds of processes. Bakashi composting was brought up, which is where it's essentially composting right at the home, where you get a little bucket and there's a material in it. And so all the organic waste is composted right in your house. And weekly you remove the little pellets that are left. So the idea is to broaden the concept of what composting is all about and have the community looking at wider things. And interestingly, increased neighborhood and community cleanup. So the Brush and Bulky and the efforts at neighborhoods being able to get a big container to do a neighborhood cleanup is something that is a new policy that the citizens from the big community forums had wanted called out and wanted people to be paying more attention to.
Well,
So
don't we get those twice a year for free?
We do, but what's interesting is they want that as into the plan. That was never there before. So
Oh, okay.
that's talking about something that's been really successful And people want to make sure that it stays in the plan and stays in the program. So even though our name or it doesn't really sound like us, I didn't think develop, maintain, and promote a pollution-free community sounds much like waste management. It's filled with waste management policies that are being developed. So that's kind of why I was there and why we were trying to talk about the things that we are doing now and that are pilots and planning into the future. So it doesn't sound like we're just, you know, garbage trucks running around picking up trash.
So did people know some of the things that you mentioned or?
Yes and no. Unfortunately, there were not many people there. There was actually more staff than citizens.
That's which how is it all is. Fine.
And I did find a woman who is a woman who would like very much to come and visit the MRF. So somehow I need to get that information to Christina, I guess, so that she can see that. So she's someone that has gotten really interested in these things, and she might be a member for ESAC, a potential member, because she was reading all the reports and everything she could get her hands on to learn more about what was here. And another one was a graduate student from the university who, I'm sorry to say, was mischaracterizing or didn't know about some of the laws, but, you know, people have to learn. It's hard when you have the teacher there who used to teach all those things to correct some of her interpretations. So it was a very small group of citizens, and that's what was too bad. But I think this will come out all right. I really do wish, though, that Carlos, we could get that zero waste map into a plan with real policies listed in it, so they could be pulled out and put into these places, or at least back up some of this. I mean, it's interested. The impact was on Superfunds. That's the lead off on brownfields. I mean, I would have led off on waste diversion, but you know, that maybe is just my hang up.
So that's not in there at all.
Waste diversion?
Yeah.
The closest to it is the zero waste management plan.
Okay.
Develop a community-wide zero waste management and accompanying initiatives to achieve a zero waste community. And use new technologies and processes and partnerships to divert waste from the landfill. So that's not much. And there's nothing about landfill management or, so we still have another round to try to improve some of these, to get some more policies into this section. And maybe change the title. I don't know if we can do that, how we can do that exactly. But I don't know, Carlos, do you think of waste of your landfill as, or your department as promoting a pollution-free community? Is that your, if someone had to ask you what your job was, you would say that's what it is?
Not necessarily. It's part of it, but that's not it. What is really an integrated solid waste management program, that's probably more in line, and that encompasses a lot of things. It encompasses not only active landfills, closed landfills, it collections, diversion. So it involves a lot of the stuff. So I think one of the things that could be looked or could be, I would say, named interchangeably would be as the solid waste facility plan. It's one thing. It could also be looked at as a zero waste roadmap, not the roadmap, but the plan itself. So I see that they may have the roadmap as just the only thing they have at their fingertips, but there is all that documentation, all the backup data that substantiates essentially that roadmap. So if they don't have it, obviously we would need to do we need to get that information to them, because it has a lot of specifics, a lot of data, a lot of information. And while we do that, we'll probably just send you guys a link as well, so that way you have all that backup information as well, because it's almost like a 300-page document with all the attached stuff like that. So and again, that's kind of like the the plan. So the roadmap is one thing. The other one is it's really just a, it's a graphical representation of what we're trying to achieve. And then the roadmap itself, it really gives you the all the different things that were considered, the backup information, and that's kind of like the planning document to the actual implementation plan. So yeah, we as we develop those initiatives, yeah, specific implementation execution plans need to be developed for each and every one of those venues. So and that plan is somewhat general too, because it doesn't really focus on specific things. Because I think as time goes by, there's either different technologies, different programs that can be looked at, but all of it is in line really to achieve the zero waste goal.
Well, I mean, exactly. And that's why you want to reference that background information, which uses as the foundation to make these statements. And that's why it was pretty sad to see what, in fact, they were referencing. I didn't feel they were referencing the document. I mean, I printed out the document they referenced, and it was, you know, it's a big fat thing, but it's really just the you probably can't see. It's really just your slides.
Yeah,
All
and
it
it's
is slides. And so that makes it really hard to point to page three and say, you know, this should be in there as a policy. This policy from this plan needs to be in there. So it made it really hard for me to argue what needed to be in there, because all I had was slides.
and it was also adopted by the council too. By council action was adopted too. So
Yeah.
that should be, we need to point them in the right direction to say it's not just a graphic, it is a plan, it is a planning document that has a lot of backup information beyond that particular slide. So
Right.
we'll
So that's what they need. They need that data. So
we'll give
please
it to them.
see
Okay.
that it gets to them,
Sure.
that they have all that background material so they can be a little better informed. And it certainly talked about the need for a lot more
Okay.
education of the particular people who are working on that. So this is what happened last time. So we need to
Yeah.
get
Well,
things
are they
in.
using any of the old stuff? Because this isn't supposed to be
Yes,
a total rewrite. So there should be stuff that there is good stuff in the old plan, Tucson. I hope they're not going to chuck all that out.
No, they're not. They're using a
Okay.
lot of them. So, for instance, the statement about brownfield assessment, mitigation, and redevelopment is supposedly comes straight out of Plan Tucson, the 2013.
Good. Okay.
So they when they show the suggested policy or action, and it's not a new policy, but it's when it's an existing one, or they're simply editing it. So, for instance, it used to be promote recycling as well as responsible disposal of electronics and hazardous waste and reduce other environmentally damaging forms of waste, which was the statement out of the Plan Tucson 2013. They're having improve infrastructure for responsible disposal of hazardous waste and reduce other environmentally damaging forms of waste. So they've dropped the recycling and dropped electronic. So I
Okay.
don't know what's going to happen to that. I know from looking at the hazardous waste report that there's very little recycling going on. Mostly it's reuse, I mean, or diversion and reuse.
Version. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else have any questions?
You can all join us. Please come again. There's another one coming up in next week, I think it is. It is next Thursday from 1 to 3:30 at the Rio El Rio Neighborhood Center on Speedway, right near the El Rio Golf Course. At I could use some help. It's me.
Yeah, no,
Other
I can
people.
make that one. I had
Chris will be
an
there this time.
appointment, but
We have lots of they
how
have
come
three or
no
four people.
Zoom? Because you know there's a lot of people that have to work that would probably like to be involved with Plan Tucson. Where did that go? You know, they're just doing in person now, huh?
Yeah, and they are
Gonna
doing the
be
big
retired
forum.
people. Yeah.
Yeah, the big forums are supposed to be where you go, and those are in the evening. So we'll try to get the information out to you and to go and talk about the importance of waste diversion, of The whole how we do collections, all of the aspects of the things we talk about here, Superfund sites, landfill management, spills remediation, and so forth and so on.
Maybe I should send them the annual report.
That might be a good idea.
I
That
mean,
might
is
be
that
good.
just for only mayor and council's eyes only, or
No, I
can
don't
I
think
go
so.
ahead and
It's a
send
public
it to
document.
PDSD?
It's a public
Okay.
document, so
Okay.
Yeah.
I know
We should
some
send it
people
to the
over there.
newspaper as well.
Okay.
Nothing like me causing trouble.
Okay.
And you all know we're losing Steve Kozacik as our advocate for these kinds of programs. So
Yeah.
retiring at the end of the month.
It's a tragedy, but it's good for him. So, all right. If there's no other questions, and I guess we'll move on to item four for the director's report and my fusion update.
So I want to give you an update on the construction of the Bifusion building. That right now, I don't know if I discussed with you last time, we're about 65% complete on all the plans. And we are essentially just kind of iron out the final details of that. And so we're going to move that fairly quickly in terms of really final plans. So we're hoping probably within a month, probably the beginning of May, really to be putting that project out to bid. And still the construction schedule is still a year out. Haven't run into any major issues outside of really of the cost itself. So we were projecting originally roughly being $2.4 million, and essentially the project is coming around like $3.4 million. So we're looking at so some of the
Three.
things that are 3.4, right? So
Three.
it's basically an additional $1 million, right? And so part of that is it's that cost, additional cost is not only the cost escalation related to materials, but also some additional work that is not so much required, but it's better for us to do it now rather than later. And that is really connecting essentially the two building sites, the HHW facility where in the new Bifusion building, obviously incorporating some parking areas, incorporating some areas for vegetation, doing some stormwater capturing. So all the stuff that we essentially tell people what they need to do, we also need to incorporate those. So when I came up really with the original answer was just purely the shell itself, the building, and how to get it up and running. So now what we're seeing is if we really want to put it in place and make sure that it fits in and ties in with everything else, that is really what the additional cost is coming in. Plus, obviously, you have cost contingencies, you have general conditions. So those are the things that essentially are making part of that, are a part of that essentially additional $1 million. So again, moving along, that the only hiccup is again that additional cost. We're looking at that still being funded out of the ES fund, and really trying to make the connection between that facility and our HHW facility. So that's the update in terms of the construction of it. Also wanted to give you also so an update in terms of really where we at in terms of the collection of the non-recyclable plastics. So roughly, we've been at this for about a year. And as of last week, we have roughly in storage about 230 tons of plastic material, non-recyclable plastic materials. And that is essentially stored either at Freedman's facility, where essentially they're billing the material for us, or at Los Reales. And so some of it has been transported to California to Bifusion, but we're generating much more plastic than essentially that what's being processed. So if we're doing that today, and if it's still going to be a year out, then we're going to have close to, I would say, close to 300 to 350 tons of material, of plastic material, in bales at either Freedman or Los Reales. So our concern is one, from a risk perspective, we certainly don't want really for that to be a litter problem, for that to be a fire problem. And so we're trying to look at what can we do with the plastic in the interim, and really to find a good beneficial use for that plastic. So I made a few calls to see if somebody can really, if we can unload the plastic in the interim until the facility is up and running. So that's still on the works. So there's a cost associated with that. There's logistics associated with that. And it may not be essentially the perfect solution that we're trying to achieve, but it's certainly something better than just landfilling that material. So our goal is obviously not to landfill it at all. And we're very sensitive in terms of really the extra effort, how the program was started, how the program was set up, how really the public participation and the engagement. So we're being very sensitive about that. But at the same time, we certainly don't want to continue to build on that liability. And so there's a couple of things that we're going to try to do. So one of them, it's really limit the amount of plastics that essentially should be delivered to that site. And again, this is going to be public outreach, is only for residential customers. So what we're seeing is a lot of commercial customers utilizing those roll-offs. So you had printing companies, you had other manufacturers, car parts that were going into that. So we're going to try to limit that as much as we can. So we're going to be doing some outreach on that. The other thing that we'll do is also really inform the residents really what really needs to go into those orange bins as compared to what goes into the blue bin. So we're seeing that there's a lot of good plastic going into the orange bin that should be going into the blue bin. Why is that important? Because I think as we're essentially losing revenue on what that those good plastics could be used for outside the revenue, but also really put them in directly into the market much better than going through being transforming into. So that's kind of what's going on. So I'm hoping to get some sort of resolution moving forward in the next couple of weeks. One of the other alternatives, and I think Christina mentioned it to you probably last meeting, if not the meeting before, is the Hefty to Renew program. So it's really not only in terms of using essentially the bags, residents can use the bags, but also there's going to be a lot of residents that may not purchase the bags, but ultimately the agreement that we're trying to work out with Hefty is we have a commitment with Bifusion to provide them X number of tonnage per month so they can sustain operations at Los Reales once they're done. But if they don't have capacity really to process any excess plastics, can Hefty Renew help us essentially process some of that plastic? So at the end of the day, this program has been very successful. We got a lot more material that we thought we were going to be collecting. And the assumptions that we made worked for a few months. Some of those partners are no longer in place. And so now we're essentially having to continue to store the materials, process those materials, or really finding a different way on how we would be placing that material in the near future. So again, it's a very dynamic hot topic for us right now. And the reason why it's hot topic is really the sensitivity of the program. And that's really where we're trying to do our best really to manage essentially that amount of material that we currently have in storage.
Yeah, Carlos, I have a question. Do other municipalities involved in Bifusion or any other business like that, are they having the same issues or are we just unusual, just collecting everything?
I think we're the only ones that are basically having that that program in place. I don't think there's any other municipality or city that is doing that anywhere else in the world. So we're unique. From that perspective, we're unique.
The issue is the nuance between the film plastic and other plastic, and it's gotten smooshed together that all plastic should go to the Ward 6 recycle program. And the point is that it's not that, as I put in the waste diversion report, the HDPE, which are, you know, laundry bottles and so forth that are neutral, have been going for up $1,000 a ton. So the city needs that money to be picked up with those particular plastics. And so we have a really big education program to get people to separate in their minds and in their actions the film plastics versus the other. It gets easy to be really sloppy and just say all plastics.
Right. And I think that's, Ms. Margaret, thank you for pointing that out, because I think that's the way we communicated to the public that this was really a solution for all plastics. And
right.
At the end of the day, it really comes to be that just like in the recycling program, we cannot really recycle every single plastic. The same thing applies essentially in terms of the orange dumpster too as well. So there's limitations. There's all kinds of plastics out there. We can't really process all of them. Or in terms of really the venue, the Bifusion venue. So those are some of the things that it's really now we got to step back. We got to re-educate ourselves. We got to re-educate essentially the public. What are basically the parameters of that program and the limitations? And I think, and quite frankly, the frustration is going to be is, well, the reason it was this program was very valuable is because I didn't have to worry about, is it a one? Is it a two? Is it a pet? Is it a
right?
Is it a plus? So
that's
in
what
this
they're doing.
At the end of the day, we're going to have to do that because this is really not a solution for all the plastics. So I think that's where what's in front of us moving forward. And that's quite frankly, the challenge is really how do we place that material? Because a material in some bales is very homogeneous. So it's basically you've got bales of PVC sheets, or you have essentially rolls of plastic sheeting associated with labels. And then on the other hand, you have another bale with regular plastics, valuable plastics commingled with auto parts in that. And then you have some other ones that are very good. So and so if we're trying to place that in the market to say, hey, can you take this material? Because that material is not homogeneous, it also becomes to be a problem. And so it becomes to be a problem from the end processor, from Bifusion perspective, or any potential end user. And it also is it's also a challenge in terms of somebody taking it off our hands to do something else with it, because there's really no uniformity in terms of the product themselves. So that's the challenge that we're encountering at this point in time. And certainly, again, the other concern is really, we certainly don't want the public to start thinking, well, I did all this stuff, you went to landfill, and that's why I don't believe in recycling. That's why you gave me the bad taste in recycling. And so we're trying to do our best really to control the messaging, control what we do with it and how we move forward with the current program and make some adjustments moving down the road. So we're really hoping that the Have to Renew would be a solution for us to process all the plastics that Bifusion cannot take and process and turn them into blocks.
Okay. Well, there's been a lot of contamination Steve is experiencing in his orange bin and other orange bins. So once again, people are using it for trash.
I didn't think that the contamination was so much from trash as it was from other kinds of plastics. I mean,
no, people are just dumping stuff in the bins. So as usual,
well, it could be that.
Some people there from the what was it, Kevin Dahl's, Council Member Dahl's Rotary Club, I think it is, to try to help people make better choices with that. But is it, Carlos, is it impossible to see breaking open those bales and doing a resort, or is that just cost prohibitive?
It's very labor intensive really to be able to do that, and if we had, I would say, the facility to do that, maybe we'd be able to do that, but we don't control those facilities. So and by the time we set something up, then it's by the time we come up with a solution, then I think we can come up with another solution in the interim. So yeah, it's really having somebody to really give us a space really to process that, and if they're given that, then what is really the cost of really us doing that in those facilities, and what is the capture rate of really sieving through those areas? Some may make sense, some of them may not.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can get to the news. Get to the news station or to the paper or something to get some of this information out.
Well, I think we are, eventually we are, but I think it's really before we get to that point, we got to make sure that we have a solution in front of us or a path moving forward for the plastic that we have in hand, and really re-educate ourselves moving forward. Because if the message is going to be, hey, we got 200 tons, we don't know what to do with it, and keep this program going, well, that's not really the right messaging that we want to send out. So we're trying to be not that we want to cover things up, but at the same time, we've got to be careful on how we go about it too.
Yeah, because I think you're going to end up, you know, having some misunderstanding with the media, because you know, they may not understand all the dynamics that are involved as well. So, you know, there's that risk that they may not understand it themselves. And so, you know, that's a chance you have to take.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tony Davis did a pretty good job writing up stuff when we were having problems with, you know, recycling and China and other countries not wanting our junk and stuff. So maybe someone could contact him.
Is he still working at the Star?
Because I don't know who's still there. Really?
He's writing specialized articles on water. He's pretty much
okay.
But well, Carlos, he's also involved with the mines a lot too. So I think that, you know, you might want to check with Henry Breen or somebody like that that might be able to break away from what he does. You know, Henry does a lot of different things throughout the community, and so, you know, he might be the person to talk to, but I really don't know. I don't know who is involved in all that anymore.
How do you spell his last name?
I think it's Breen.
Okay.
Carlos, is this a place where to bring on a temporary for a month or 6 weeks to really look into separating that out? I mean, I can see some little videos like we used to do with, you know, holding up the laundry detergent and saying, put this one in your, you know, blue barrel, and then holding up some, you know, plastic film saran wrap or something and put this one in the orange one, you know, just real basic kinds of things that could be put into the newspaper and given to give public service ads if they have those things anymore on the TVs and so forth. So that, but you know, Christina is just so overloaded. I mean, to ask her to take this on, it seems to me this is the place to bring on a temporary person for 6 weeks to, or hire a consultant.
Well, she has somebody helping her. They hired someone.
I know, but they need to focus just on this with a very high level of graphics, video, you know, a whole package of things to hit it right now in the head before. Because very soon the rumor's going to be out, it's all going into the landfill, and boy, that'll just kill everything.
What about the city's website?
That's another place to put it.
Newsnet, yeah.
I would look at what they already have it on display for people to look at, and if there's anything that's old or outdated, they should just get it off that site. And then just concentrate on just exactly what we need. Because if there's anything that's contradictory, then you're going to start having problems with, okay, well, they said this thing here, but then before that, they said something else. So which one am I supposed to be listening to? You know, so that's something that might be, you may want to look at that as get rid of the stuff you don't need, anything that's been outdated, and then just strictly use the language and everything that you want that is relevant to what we need at this time. And then make, because if you go to these media outlets, they're going to say, they might even say, go to the website and take a look. And if we drive people to the website and there's some contradiction there, then you're going to have a problem.
I agree with you completely. What it needs is one person for 6 weeks or 2 months to simply to look at the website and to do that. I know Christina's been talking about developing a new website with new information, but it also needs all these other dynamic video, you know,
exactly,
platforms, social, whatever platforms to do all those things in short, you know, 15 second, 20 second, 30 second.
But maybe that's something that the university could help us out with. You know, they've got a lot of students that are in doing these media courses. Maybe we can get them to do something for us.
Someone's got to contact them and ask. and know somebody in that field.
So I think it just, I think the way we got a hot potato, okay? And so it's in our hands, it's burning our hands. So what do we do with that hot potato, okay? How do we pass it on? And it's not really the city itself in terms of collecting the programs itself, is who's going to be in the middle of it, okay? Is it just have to renew? Is it going to be by fusion? Is it going to be other entities? That's what we have to figure that out first. Okay, and I think once we got that figured out and what the venue is and what the parameters is, certainly the education, the outreach is going to have to take place. And so, yeah, everything that you outlined will be considered, but I don't think we're quite there yet at this point in time. And so again, I'm hoping that we can be in a position to say, hey, this is what we're doing. Here's the interim solution. And here's really the plan moving forward, and here's the education moving forward. So yeah, we're going to have to bring some external help to help us with that and really get the right message across in a relatively short period of time. But I think before we, as we do that, we got to find the solution. The solution has to be in place when we do that outreach. And so that's what we're trying to figure that out. What is that solution?
I have a related but unrelated question. Excuse my dog if you can hear him. And that is, so I've been doing a lot of driving back and forth to Phoenix. This also may become a future agenda item if it's simpler, but there's a really large facility going up off of I-10 near Eloy, and I finally bothered looking up what it is. And it's an advanced plastic recycling facility. And I was wondering, Carlos, if you've heard much about that. And I'm sort of curious from more of a long-term perspective, how that might prove to be part of a solution to this intermingling of plastics, the volumes that we're seeing, all of that. Because it seems like it will be able to process everything and then some without a whole lot of sorting. I'm also wondering if it will make bifusion, I don't want to use the wrong word here, but like, does bifusion make sense if we have a facility like this going in right up the road from Tucson? It is a long-term sort of a question. Long-term solution doesn't get at what we need to do in the short term for the program that we're currently running. But I was sort of curious how that might work into things.
Right. So yeah, we're aware of that facility, and as a matter of fact, those folks had reached out to us as part of the zero waste initiatives or part of the RFP. So we know that that's kind of what's going on, and yeah, that could potentially be a solution, but it's one of those solutions. It's really, and again, from a policy perspective, is one of the things that the council was not interested in. It's really using our plastics and really into turn them into waste to energy. So we have gotten a lot of negative feedback on that, and the folks from Sustainable Tucson are very opposed really to, and have voiced their concerns really to mayor and council on that. And so we really haven't come forth in terms of saying that's a solution that never we should pursue. My response to that is a solution. I think for Tucson, in terms of really building a facility here, it's probably not there because the numbers don't really meet it. But potentially, like in Eloy, you have maybe some potential waste that may be coming in from Tucson, may be coming in from Phoenix, and may be coming in from California. And that's why it makes sense in Eloy, because you have the train, you have the logistics to be able to do that. So yeah, that is really a potential solution for Tucson. And just like any solution, there is technology, but there's costs associated with that. And those are some of the things that we got to consider down the road. So yeah, that's a possibility. To answer your question, it is a possibility, but from a policy perspective, we need to make sure that we're content with basically exercising that as a potential solution for Tucson.
And do you know if that facility is it waste to energy or is it a recycling facility?
No, it's a recycling facility. It's a tire manufacturing facility where they're going to be really essentially. I don't know if it's Goodyear or it's Michelin. So essentially, they're going to be trying to capture as much plastic as they can and then turn it into some sort of a tire manufacturing facility. So, but there is another facility going on the west side, which I think is owned by Freeport Plastics, and they're going to do something a little bit different too as well. There's also facilities being planned by I can't remember the company's name in Maricopa City. So that's another facility where they're going to recycle a lot of those plastics. The other one that's in place, and that's somebody I'd reach out to is Republic Services. They have a plastic recycling facility in Las Vegas, and so that's another option of how we can basically unload some of our plastics. So there's two or three different options out there. Is really what makes some economic sense, but at the end of the day, what makes more environmental sense, and that's really what we're trying to do. Because the way we sold it is really here's a local solution. Here's really what we're going to do with it, and that's why a lot of folks really can touch and feel that. And if we do things differently, then we just got to be cognizant of what that solution might be, understanding of how the program was stood up.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Carlos?
Carlos, is the one that's going to tires is going to be plastic tires? Is that what you're telling us?
I'm not sure if it's. I really don't know all the technology and
Chemistry, yeah.
to be.
What, do you know what the name of it is?
No, I don't. I think it was. It was the one I think you're referring to, Trevor, is. As you leave Eloy, it's on the east side. It's a huge facility, and I think the way I was able to look at that, it's a Goodyear tire Goodyear facility. But it's and I'm not sure if it's really tires or is there really other types of plastics. But yeah, it really becomes to be a plastic recycling facility.
I just put in the chat the link to the one that I had
Super.
seen. It is just east of I-10. It's run by Freepoint, so it might be
Yeah.
the same, different, but it is really interesting.
Yep, that's the one.
Yeah. You think Bifusion could help out with, bringing some money for getting information out to Tucsonans, for the recycling and not contamination, because
So as we worked out the details on this non-recyclable plastics, they're going to be part of the equation. So Christina is in touch with them. We also in
good.
touch with Renew. So it's really going to be a three-way basically message that will come out in terms of what are we looking for in terms of the orange bin, the parameters, and everything else associated with that. So all of us are in the same sheet of music moving forward.
Okay, because I'd like to see them spend some money. All right. Any other questions? All right. Let's move on. Oh, speaking of money, let's move on to item five, the financial monthly report, Maggie.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. So let me just share my screen. Brittany, have you enabled that?
Yes, I just made you a co-host.
Thank you. Okay. Let's see. Can you see my screen?
Yes,
Okay.
environmental
Okay. It looks a little different than Teams. Let me put my glasses on. Okay. We're tracking our expenditures here by sort of business lines in this report. For the month through the when I pulled this report up, so we would have had pretty much all of February's expenses. At this point, we're about $38 million for a good 8 months worth of activities, bearing in mind that some of the bills that we pay, we're sort of a month behind by the time the contractor, mainly for our contracted services, submit the invoice, and then we pay it. And many of our contracted services have a 30-day turnaround time. So some of those costs are about 7 months worth of costs. I do think we are, you can see that the projection for quarter two is $69.5 million. We will continue to revise that. So when we meet next time, we'll have a quarter. I'll do the Q3 projection, which will take us through, once I have all of March's activity, I'll have that at the beginning of April. Hopefully I'll have it crystallized and put together by the time we meet to provide you with a good quarter three projection. And if not, it will have to be at the next meeting. It'll just depend on the timing of when I get the data and to get the reports in time to get them to you for the next meeting. So, but right now we are over budget for, based on what was budgeted for this year. And by and large, that is because, which I've mentioned before, we did not have a budget for vehicles. And there was no vehicles in the request. And of course, vehicle replacement is a critical, or purchase of new vehicles is something that happens most years here. So that's really where our deficit is. But going to our report comparing projected revenues to the projected expenditures, due to the increased collections in residential because of the second piece of the rate increase going into effect on January 1st. I think that that's going to help offset some of the expenses again. And we'll be able also to reevaluate the costs here. We had forecasted $10.9 million for our capital projects, and we'll have a much better sense when we do our quarter three forecast as to where we think we're going to land. I'll get with Carlos on that in terms of all the capital projects. So right now, as of quarter two, when I completed that forecast, we were looking to go into fund balance to the tune of about $604,000, and we can look at that again next period. Is there any questions from the committee regarding just the monthly activity?
I noticed that residential on the previous line was over it was at 11,000 and let's see, the budget was at 11,000, the projected is 12.9, mm-hmm. sort of a million over. Is that where the trucks are showing up?
That's right, exactly. Okay. Miss Garcia, that's exactly right.
Okay, so the trucks in the residential.
We are operating in a very inflationary environment, so there are costs that are costing the department more this year than they cost last year, like contracted services, like the inputs. Those things are cost, fuel are costing more. So that is reflected in the forecast. And you'll also see that when we get to reviewing the fiscal year 25 requested budget, that those increases, or that we built in some allowance for those increases.
Is this a time when we should consider putting in the fuel surcharge that we used and was developed at an earlier time when we had such volatile fuel prices, and we did have a policy that there could be a certain amount, not very many cents on the each collection, but raised enough money to help offset some of these increases in fuels? I guess that's more a question for Carlos.
Yeah, I'll defer to Carlos there. That's a policy decision. I can certainly help with the financial analysis piece.
I think we'll have to check on that because I don't think that the fuel cost has re reached out that much in terms of really to meet the threshold. But let us evaluate that. Let us take a look at it. And I think the threshold too, how it was before as compared to where it ought to be now. So before it was $3.50, probably with the inflationary cost, that shifted a little bit north of that to 450. So even if you wanted to exercise, we probably may not meet those parameters. So let us check on that because
Okay.
yeah, that's a good point that looking into that. But most of that is really triggered on the cost of diesel, not so much CNG. And that's how
Sure.
we really would charge essentially our customers the differential rate. And that's why I think it's really based on the cost of diesel has not really increased significantly. That really that calls really for the additional charges to our commercial customers. So because that's the only area that it applies. So it's really more on the CNG stuff. But we'll check.
Yeah, and it might be needed because when that policy was developed a number of years ago, we weren't doing much CNG, so it might need to be an updated policy. But anyway, I just throw it out there as a place to look at, recognizing this volatility of the fuel costs, which in the past had been a really major problem.
Any more questions regarding the monthly activity for the period just ended?
Oh,
No? Okay. So I'm going to move on to the requested budget. Before I get started, one thing I just wanted to let you know about was that this is a draft at a certain period of time. So the process is that Carlos, I worked with Carlos and his senior leadership to evaluate where we were at for fiscal year 24 so far and to think about what the needs were for fiscal year 25. I then submitted a budget for Carlos into the our budgeting system that became our requested budget, and it is in the process of being reviewed by Business Services Department's leadership, the director and the budget team there, in conjunction with the city's CFO, Anna Rosenberry, and then, of course, being evaluated by the city manager's office as well. So that analysis is going on right now, based on the request that was submitted by EGSD at towards, I think it was the 20th of January was around the time that the request was submitted. So this reflects that request. There have been some updates since then, and then at the beginning of April, the plan is for the city manager to submit his recommended budget to mayor and council. So there will be lots of iterations up until when the budget gets approved and adopted, and it will change. So just so you know, this was our first step, is what I wanted to say. The second thing I wanted to say was that while I was talking about changes to the budget and how we looked at costs and took cost increases into consideration, one change that was not made was that the department did not request any new full-time equivalent staff. So the department is allocated a set number of staff for this fiscal year, positions filled, which some of which are filled and some of which are vacant, and that number of staff is the same for the requested budget for fiscal year 25. So, just as a reminder, for the environmental services side, there's a general fund component, which is the code enforcement and the graffiti abatement. Then there's what we call Fund 502, which is the enterprise fund, the collections, the residential collections, the Los Reales landfill, the capital projects, that sort of thing. And then we have another small fund that we call Fund 503, which is the fund where we keep the EPA grants. So I will start with the general fund, the code enforcement personnel. We have 21.5 full-time equivalents. This increase is not something I have any control over. This was the revised last year. This year, you can see that it's up slightly. This number will definitely change as they settle on amounts for the finalize the amounts for health insurance, all of those sort of things. They're having some discussions about the retirement system contributions, things like that. So this number is very, very fluid. But one thing that's not necessarily fluid unless a decision is made around the FTE is the number of FTE will stay the same. We did increase slightly the request for overtime based again on looking at actuals so far when we were sort of halfway through the year and we had already about $40,000 in overtime for code enforcement personnel. So we increased that as well. In operations for code enforcement, the request for fiscal year 25 was increased by $770,000. That was a little bit of a housekeeping thing. There was an amount for code enforcement, abatement, and demolitions, and also the vacant and neglected structures in a pot of general funding that was separate from the department that was called and was a sort of a one-time funding for fiscal year 24. For fiscal year 25, in looking at the code enforcement and the abatement activities and the costs, is about $770,000 a year for the just the abatements, you know, putting up the fences, boarding things up, that kind of thing. And so it made more sense to put that request here in operations just so we have a year-to-year look at it instead of one year it's over here, another year it's over there. So we put it all in this one place. So that's what this variance is about. And we also increased the request for our contracted services for graffiti abatement, anticipating that the costs for those, the contracted costs will go up. So I was talking about the contractor costs. We have seen what contractors have to pay their staff and for their inputs are also going up in addition to them going up for us. And so they pass those costs on to us. So we increased the graffiti abatement request by $100,000 for that reason. And when in the fall, in terms of revenue being collected for code enforcement, in the fall, when the mayor and council approved the making the code enforcement process more robust, that has increased our collections. One piece that happened, I think you all know, is that we rolled out the Workday enterprise planning system for the city. And when we were first issuing invoices out to our customers and the community, when we board something up, we incur a cost. Mayor and Council said, once that cost is incurred, we lien the property for that amount and we invoice that property owner. We also enabled in Workday, and it took some time to get this going. Interest is now being generated on a monthly basis on those outstanding amounts. And so, and invoices are being reissued to those customers on a monthly basis as well. So it's getting their attention, and we're seeing increased collections as a result, which is good because we're getting reimbursed for the costs of these code enforcement activities by and large, you know, not for all of them, of course. How, before I move on out of the code enforcement and the graffiti abatement area, are there any questions? No? Okay.
I'm glad to see that what's happening with the increased collections from the new vans program and so forth. That's great to see it in the budget and being recognized.
Yes. Okay, so moving on to Fund 502, which is the main environmental services fund. For personnel, there are just shy of 240 full-time equivalent. The increase here reflects tier pay increases and benefit increases. And again, this number will change for sure based on where the city manager and the CFO land with estimated employee costs for the year. And so we'll see this change over time, but the number of FTE will likely stay the same. We did increase the request for overtime when vacancies are a reality in the department right now, and when there are vacancies, that increases the amount of overtime that the existing staff have to work. And so we have seen an increase in the overtime incurred. And of course, the tier pay has been a good benefit for those employees. But then when they work overtime, then because they're being paid more, then that overtime is more expensive. And so that is what is reflective of that increase there. In operations, just regular operational expenses, so payments to contractors, payments for supplies for the collections, some standouts in this variance. We added $385,000 for the new Rubicon contract. It's a 5-year contract. And Rubicon is a, you may have heard from the staff, a new, and I'm not going to do it justice because it's pretty robust, but it's like a GPS tracking of the vehicles, tablets in the vehicles, cameras, that kind of thing. So that was included. I also added $250,000 for payments to Bifusion once they get up and running for the agreement between the city and Bifusion once they start with the manufacturing process in earnest. We've added $500,000 for an expected service agreement with Old Pueblo Community Services for the homeless work program to contract with Old Pueblo to provide workers to do homeless camp cleanup. We have a few other increases to the cost of gas and diesel and compressed natural gas, and then a few increases just for operational materials, for example, to container maintenance for the cost of some of the containers that they purchase and the increases that we're seeing there. So those are some of the highlights, but it's not a huge increase as you can see. For capital, this is mainly capital equipment here. We have 3.5 million in the budget this year, and basically that was that's in the revised budget for this year, which we had 13 million budgeted and for construction projects, and we took the 3.5 million in anticipated savings and moved it to vehicles to
making a salad.
so we had some budget authority there, but you can see that for next year we requested $7 million overall for vehicle replacements for commercial, residential, and brush and bulky, and those are and also out at the Los Reales landfill. So that is, and that reflects the bulk of the vehicles that we are planning wanting to have budget capacity for. Then for CIP, working with Carlos, we have $7.9 million budgeted for those, which you can see the plan at the time we did this is a decrease. So we have the Los Reales landfill buffer at $2 million, the gas to energy project at $1 million, the container maintenance relocation at $2 million, the bifusion building at $1.4 million, and as we heard today, that could be subject to change once we start seeing actuals come in, but perhaps the timing of it will work out fine that this is sufficient for next fiscal year. We have some Los Reales facilities upgrades planned, $1 million, and then projects at various city closed landfills for $500,000 a year. So those are the projects that we have for CIP for a total request of $72.3 million for next year, just for the ES fund, which is an increase of about just a little shy of $5 million over what we had asked for, what we have in our requested budget for this year. For the revenues, we're estimating around $71.9 million, and that increase is mainly due, of course, this fiscal year, we only have 6 months of the full residential increase rate because it was rolled out slowly, but next year we'll have full 12 months for all of the $142,000 residential customers. So that's what this request reflects, an increase in. And then the difference between the requested expenditures and the requested revenue is an expectation that we could possibly go into the fund balance for $320,000. For the grants, the request that I made was working with the team that manages the grants, and we had the tail end of a grant, and we put an amount in here just to get us through the next fiscal year for the existing grants. However, if we get another grant, or we get or that grant our existing grant gets extended in some way, we can request from contingency some additional budget authority for the grants. So this was just a sort of estimate, a sort of point in time estimate, and not really reflective necessarily of what the last year, for example, the grant expenditures were a little above about $140,000, and this year they'll be around $90,000. So if we're in that range next year, we can ask for more budget authority from grants contingency. So that is a high level view of the requested budget for fiscal year 25. Any questions? You're muted, Ms. Garcia.
Thank you. The homeless work program was something that was new to me. Is that, did I just miss something, or is that something been ongoing?
This, Carlos, do you want to speak to that?
Sure. So, Ms. Margot, so essentially, it's not really a new program for the city. It's really a new program that has been in place for about 7 years. The difference was that essentially the program was funded through a lot of donors that were contributing money towards to the program through Old Pueblo Community Services. So since then, those donations or that funding is no longer available. So there is really a lot of interest from the council really to continue with the program. And so what it is essentially is we through Old Pueblo Community Services, they hire homeless folks, they hire them on the spot, they create essentially a cleanup crew, and essentially they go out there and clean up specific areas, litter or areas that we assign for them to clean up. At the end of the day, those folks get essentially a paid $15 an hour for participating into the program. So we do have to pay for essentially for the crew leader and for the administrative fee for that. So this coming year is we're essentially adding into our budget or building into our budget, as Maggie pointed out, $500,000 for essentially for the composition of three crews that will be working essentially 5 days out of the week, and which are going to be made up of roughly the crew is about eight members per crew. So that's something that we're adding as in terms of really some of the things that we're doing as part of other things have been essentially funnel our way. And so again, that was something that was an activity that was funded outside. There was a little bit of housing money that was done for that was provided, grant money that was provided last year, or a little bit of ARPA money. All those funding sources have gone away. And again, the interest is really to continue with the program where we employ homeless folks. They do cleanup efforts for the city, and that's really what the cost is per year for that program.
Okay, so in other words, it's a program that other people were funding and now it's been handed to us, to
That's correct.
ES.
Yes.
Okay, I'm glad we're such a deep pocket that people can keep handing us the.
Sure seems like it, huh? Wow.
Wow.
Thanks, Maggie. That was a lot of good detail.
Very well done.
Appreciate. Yeah, that's a lot of
Anytime.
work. Okay. So we've gone through items five and six, right? I got so involved. We should be on. I know we're getting close to ending time. Let's move on to item seven. Trevor, can you give us a quick update to everybody for our last meeting, Waste Diversion, Collections, and Education?
Sure can. I'll make today quick.
Okay, make
So
it
we
quick.
discuss code enforcement. They are evaluating safety procedures and looking at body armor and respirated related needs to be sure that inspectors are safe during inspections. Homeless protocol is getting updated. That sort of thing. Waste diversion. We had a higher tonnage at the MRF last week or last month, sorry. No major price changes. We are, as discussed earlier, getting a lot more plastic than can be accepted through bifusion. Recycling drop-offs are going well. Food cycle at home also going well, and opening up a new site at Tucson Clean and Beautiful. We are starting to return finished compost to members of Food Cycle at Home via compost drop-offs at wards 3, 6 in Highland Vista. Public outreach. Wow, I'm struggling today. Public outreach update. Zero waste collection event is coming up on April 6th at the Catalina United Methodist Church. Last year, we used Bookmans for books, and this year, the Friends of the Public Library will be collecting books instead. We will also have a recycler out who will be helping to recycle books that can't be used again or at the end of their life, and that is Recycle One USA. When it comes to collections, again, compost deliveries are happening to those sites that I mentioned, as well as to the U of A. There have also been quite a few requests from neighborhood associations, and we've made 68 deliveries to various places throughout Tucson and have donated 159 tons of compost. And we talked a whole lot about bifusion and non-recyclables, landfill gas update. We do have an RFP out right now and are in the process of reviewing proposals to get an idea of what we might be able to do with landfill gas. We're currently flaring about 1,000 cubic feet per minute, and would like to be able to get that back up to 2,500 cubic feet per minute and to do something with that gas rather than just flaring it. And that is most of what we talked about.
Thank you. Let's move on to item 8 for future agenda items. Anyone?
Are we going to talk about the what the university's plans are for move out, or is that going to be at the waste diversion group?
I have that for waste diversion.
Okay.
And I do have updates, so I'll be happy to give them when we get there.
Good. Okay. Thank you. Item 9 is call to audience. I don't think we have anybody. Okay. So here's that moment again. Item 10 for elections. So I'm opening up the floor for nominations for chair and vice chair. Because we lost Mike. So shall we start with the chair? Are there any nominations for chair? Anyone?
Can we renominate you, Chris?
No, yes. You know you can, you can. And I don't mind doing it, but I get kicked off mid-January. So that's the date. And so yeah, I'll be glad to accept that now, but you guys are going to be SOL in January 2025. So okay. Just in case it, so anyhow, we have to ask everybody, and so let's see, do we need a second motion?
Yeah.
A second on, okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Ryan?
Aye.
Oh, thank you.
I was the first to say aye.
Oh, I'm sorry. There were too many ayes. Those opposed? Okay, so the motion carries and I'm doing it. Okay. Now
let's redo it in December.
Yeah. And so now we need somebody for vice chair. And that's open for nominations. Anyone want to nominate one of the faces that's on the screen right now?
I'm not allowed to talk, so that's why.
Yeah, I can't nominate anybody as chair.
What is the role exactly entail?
Backup. Backup for the chair. So in case the chair is sick or absent or
when you leave in January.
Yeah. You shouldn't have said that, Brittany. Okay. Someone gonna nominate anybody?
Come on, guys. Step up.
Susanna, you got. You can put one of the guys on the spot.
I nominate Fred Ariza.
Is there a second?
I'll second it. That makes Doug and Ryan the tiebreakers.
Yeah, so you look stunned, Fred. Are you willing to accept the nomination?
Well, either that or anybody accept the nomination for Trevor.
Oh, no. Brittany, what do I do now?
I'm gonna refer this to Carlos. Carlos, are you? If we have two nominations on the
four,
we don't have. Well, do we have seconds for both of them? There's, we've got.
I'll second for Trevor if he's interested.
Okay. Second for Fred.
I'll ask the question. Fred, do you want to do it?
Be honest with you, no.
Okay. I am fine with accepting the nomination.
Okay.
Hey, Trevor.
All those in favor.
Aye.
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 Those opposed. Okay. So motion carries. Thank you. And you know, we just gotta get more people. And I don't know if there's ever been college students interested, any grad students that would want to join ESAC. You mentioned, Margot, that there was a lady at one of the meetings that might be interested, you know, stand in front of Fry's with a sign. I don't know. I know it's hard for a lot of people right now to volunteer. So, but I think if you tell people that we're doing Zoom, that makes it easier for a lot of people that still have to work every day. So anyways, once again, the next happy hour with your friends, you really have to start.
Talking it up.
Assertive. Okay. All right.
I guess you have to assume that we have friends. And
oh, Fred. Cut it out.
They were happy hours.
Cut it out. All right. Okay. God, that's over. So, we're not doing too badly. It's for German at 5:33.
Actually, I was going to try to mention one thing. You know, I like that annual the ending of that the annual report with all the statistics and everything. Is there a way to put that on the website?
Oh yeah. Brittany, can you send that to everyone, or
it went out as a newsnet? I can see. I'll talk to Alyssa, who does our website, to see if there's a place for that.
Yeah, because I think that would, for people who look at the website and see what do these guys do, they'll be able to see right away what we did last year, what you guys did last year. And I think that would really help out as far as giving the public an idea of what goes on with the group.
ES needs a champion. and probably people can attend mayor and council meetings when Carlos is being grilled, that might help too. So anyhow, all right, thank you guys. This was a busy meeting, and we'll see you next month. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.